Chris, you're still there.
Yes.
How old were you when you took your heart attack?
49, 50.
And would you have considered would you have considered yourself fit or what?
No, definitely not.
Right.
I'd be probably something similar to yourself.
And where were you when it happened? I'm just interested in what happened and where you were and what it feels like. Where were you?
I was in work.
Okay.
I just started work at 7:10 down in Shorts. I just had a cigarette outside, to be honest. And I come in and
had you felt
attack.
Had you felt bad days before or anything? Anything?
No.
Any
no,
warning
nothing.
Signs? No.
No, nothing at all. It says and I come in from having a smoke and I was just standing on my bench ready to start work and I just took a heart attack and
what's it feel like, Chris?
It was a really tight feeling, says in my chest and so on, says, and I just went grey. And I have to say, if you don't mind, it says, if it wasn't for the medical staff and the colleagues and work, it says I would be dead now. It says because it happened so fast, and within 3-4 minutes, the medical staff in Shorts were with me and sorted me out and so on. And within another sort of 5 or 10 minutes, it says the ambulance was there and I was away.
Mm-hmm.
It says and I had stents fitted and so on. It says within 2 hours. It says so at 9:15 I was in the recovery room, and that was from 7:15 in the morning. It says so.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
All I can say is, it says. A lot of people complain about the health service in this country.
Yeah.
It says, but all I can say is, it says they are fantastic.
And when you got that tightness in your chest, and you say you hadn't had any, because there are some people say, look, there are warning signs. You know, if you look back in hindsight, sometimes there are signs that you're not good.
Yes.
But you hadn't had anything, no.
I had nothing whatsoever.
And then that tightness in your chest. Did you have to be resuscitated?
No. It says I was compos mentis all the way through.
Okay.
It says I went completely grey. It says and when the medical staff arrived, they couldn't get a pulse. They couldn't get any readings whatsoever on their machines or anything, and neither could the paramedics. They couldn't do it either. Says so. It took a while for them to actually get some sort of reading on their ECG machines or whatever it was.
And what about the psychological impact of? Because we all kind of think we're invincible, don't we? Until something goes wrong.
Aye, tell me about it.
So what? That must have been a big change then inside you.
To be honest with you, with the big change, I don't think I've recovered properly since.
Yeah.
Says I've suffered from anxiety, depression, everything since.
Yeah.
So says
And what is that? Chris?
I don't want to labour on it.
Chris, is that a fear of it happening again? Is that a fear of dying, or what is that?
It's a fear of not being able to cope, and not being able to do things that I used to do, and so on. Says and just a fear of anything new.
Yeah.
Says or even going for a walk, I worry.
Because clearly a big shock. And look, if some of the rest of you have had heart attacks, I'd be interested in you calling us, actually. I must look up the statistic of how many of us, you know, do have them each year, the proportion of the population that have them, or how many heart attacks happen per population death, if you know what I mean, the mortality rate associated with heart attacks. We'll look that up and see if we can get it. And if it's happened to you, obviously you wouldn't be dead, you wouldn't be ringing us. But if you've had a heart attack and you're still alive, 0-30-30.
Well, actually I had two.
You had two at the same time?
No, I had one in August and then another one in November.
Oh, really? Oh, my goodness.
So basically, I was out of work for a long time. It's hard.
It's hard. And what about, have you changed your diet then? Have you had a complete lifestyle change?
Well, the diet has changed an awful lot. It says I'm not allowed to all the fatty foods and all that sort of stuff. And someone says...
Have you found that hard?
Very much so, because I love my Ulster fry. And someone says, I maybe have one of those every month. Says just to treat myself.
I'm talking about the elephant in the room here, Chris. Me, that's why. That's why I'm so interested in this. Do you know what I mean? I'd probably be a likely candidate for what's happened to you to be happening to me.
Well, to be honest with you, you just have to keep away from red meat too much every week and so on. So
easier said than done.
Maybe once a week. So, but you know, to be honest with you, I sort of. Shy away from that.
Listen, all the very best, Chris, and I hope you get stronger. And thanks for sharing some of your story with us today. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. He's a nice guy, actually. I see some of you are calling us about this. I find it really interesting territory. We were talking heart attacks earlier on. Albert, morning, Albert.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. You had one a few years ago, did you?
I had one about 5 years ago. I was out in the garden and at a predetermined, and only so much time to do so much work. And then I was going to do something else, and I was really, really pushing myself. And as I kept pushing myself, I got slower and slower and slower. And I started to perspire, and then I went and I lay down in the bed. And I tried to phone my wife, and I couldn't get her. And then at the end, she came in, and I just went to the doctor, and it was a heart attack. But at the time, I thought it was wind or something else, I think. Whenever you have a heart attack, your mind tells you why you couldn't have a heart attack.
And how old were you at the time?
It put on to something else.
How old were you at the time, Albert?
I was about 65.
Okay.
And I am 71. I've never fit as... I'm really, really fit. And about 3 weeks back, I'm a street pastor, and I done funding for the street pastors, and they were done around the 9 miles in Newton Arch, you know, that is full of hills. And I done it in under 2 hours, and the majority of people behind me were young people. So, you know, and I think I finished about 30 out of 83. So I believe if you have a heart attack, what you should do in life is... get plenty of exercise, and you know, I just say it's passed, and it's given me a new life.
I don't think I am imagining this. I'm pretty sure there are billboards out and about around the city at the minute, telling you about the warning signs of a heart attack. I'm pretty sure I've seen that.
The warning signs, as far as I'm concerned, just come immediately before it. They don't come in the days before it. And what I was doing was I was doing extreme exercise, and I think that maybe just, you know, brought it up to the fore.
So how did you feel the days before it?
I just felt normal. But probably on hindsight, I think I started maybe doing less work, and because of stopped work, I became less active.
Mm.
And I think that there then possibly promotes things like that. I'm not sure, but I now realise that as you grow older, you have to try and keep fit and keep your body in good condition. And I believe that there stops an awful lot of diseases and things happening to you.
And so would you say you're fitter now than you were before your heart attack?
I'm fitter now than I was this last 10 or 15 years.
My goodness.
Actually, when I went into a class there a few weeks back, and there was about 40 in the class, and they were all keeping fit, and they looked at me and they said, are you joining me? I said, no, that's too easy for me. And I was joking. And the man taking the class said, right, you do the plank down there. And I went down and started to do the plank. And everybody started laughing. He said, would you lift your right leg parallel? And I said, okay. And then he said, would you lift your left arm or your right arm parallel? And I'd done that there, and everybody clapped. And I'd never done that in my life before, but that shows you, if you're doing more training and looking after yourself, how beneficial it is to you.
Mm-hmm. Albert, thank you. Thank you, sir. Michael. Morning, Michael.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning.
How are you?
You had 3 heart attacks in one night?
I had 3 in one night, yes. And then 2 months later, I had another one. But the three...
How old were you, Michael?
I was 51.
Wow. Were you as fat as me or anything?
Oh, no. I worked in the hospital, and I was very fit. I was about 10 and a half stone at the time.
What?
But heavier now.
Well, what brought on three heart attacks if you were thin?
Well, I'll just tell you now, you were on about smoking there. That's what caused the whole problem.
The what?
Smoking.
Smoking.
Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And I was smoking since I was 11. So it was the biggest factor in it, you know.
And how did it change your outlook on things, on life?
Oh, totally, totally changed, totally changed. The night that I took it, I was at a wake, and I come home, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up, and the phone rung, and I had to go down the stairs to answer it, and then my wife woke up, and got me with the heart attack at that time, and she got up and phoned the ambulance, and they come out, and the guy was examining me, turned around to the other fella, just shook his head, no pulse, no nothing, he's gone. And they got me around again and away.
They thought you were dead?
Thought I was dead, yes. And anyway,
like the sound of that.
No, I didn't want to hear it either. But when they were taking me out of the room on the wee stretcher, I took another, just blacked out. And all of a sudden, I was standing over at the mirror, and I could see my feet, and I could see my wife standing crying, and I could see the ambulance boys walking at me. And then all of a sudden, just like that, click a finger, I jumped up again on the stretcher. I was out of body experience. I'd scared the life out of me, I'll tell you. And it changed my life completely. I have a different outlook on life now. I'm so more into my grandchildren. And there, a couple of months ago, I became a great-grandfather.
Congratulations.
And only my wife got me in time. I would never see my grandchildren or my great-grandchild grow up.
And you believe you had an out-of-body experience?
Yes. No, not believe it. Definitely was. Definitely was.
So you saw, but, you believe you saw them working at you?
Yes. Definitely, I don't believe. I know for a fact it was.
Okay.
Because it couldn't have been anything else.
But, so how do you work that out in your head then? What do you think was happening there?
Well, Stephen, I wouldn't say I'm religious, but I have great faith in God.
Hmm.
And I wouldn't say I'm very religious, but I can't see any other explanation. It wasn't my time. I needed to see my grandchildren grow up. I needed to be there when my great-grandchild was born. Wee boy, by the way. And I had to be there for them. And I devoted my life to my wife now and my grandchildren and my children. And I will never go back to smoking or do anything that's going to cause me anything. And I'll go, hopefully, with natural causes. I'll never smoke again, anyway, I know that.
Listen, nice to talk to you, and I hope you get stronger too, okay?
Oh, I'm doing fine now, thank goodness. I'm doing fine. The only other thing was that, as I say, I was down at the health centre, and I was put in the ECG machine, and the doctor came down to examine it, and he said, "Don't you move for that chair, I've got the ambulance, you're taking another heart attack." That was my fourth.
My goodness.
That was 2 months later.
That's when you were in the doctor's?
That was when I was in the health centre, yes. I was talking to the doctor and they sent me down for the ECG.
And you were taking a heart attack and you didn't know it?
Taking a heart, I didn't know it.
Oh, for God's sake, this is terrifying me.
And I was taken out to the county hospital. Unfortunately, it's closed down now. It shouldn't be, but it's closed down now. And unfortunately, it was there for me when I needed it. And I was another 10 days in the hospital.
Listen, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Right, I'm
looking here. I think this is from the Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke Association. Know the symptoms of a heart attack. Stop. Something's not right. Symptoms can start slowly. Tightness or pain in the chest, pain in the arm, neck or jaw. O represents other symptoms such as shortness of breath, nausea, sweating, and P, phone 999 immediately. The ambulance crew will do an ECG. That's stop message. It is from Northern Ireland Chest, Heart and Stroke, actually. Probably well worth having a look at. Right, David in Crumlin. Morning, David.
Good morning, Stephen.
You're a paramedic.
Yeah, correct.
So you've seen this all before?
Yeah, I see it on a very regular basis, Stephen. Our paramedics out there, you know, whenever we get a... There's a lot of chest pain calls and aren't always heart-related. You know, it can be chest, whatever, you know, and stuff, you know, chest diseases. But when we get a typical patient who presents with the cases where, as the Chest, Heart and Stroke Association has pointed out, normally when we walk in the door, we can actually identify it most of the time straight looking at the patient. He's agitated, he's grey, sweaty, doesn't know what to do, you know, this tightness in the jaw, arm, so forth. You know, we'll get a quick history of allergic to any medications, and then we'll get straight in with aspirin, you know, an antiplatelet, and some measures blood pressure, make sure it's not too low, give him some DTN to open up the blood vessels, because the pain is the narrowing of the coronary arteries, you know, which have been furred up over time. So what we're doing with the GTN is trying to open up those little vessels again.
And David, is time critical?
It is time critical. We will do a full body, heart scan with an ECG if I find the evidence of the heart attack on that. It will be transmitted through the Royal Hospital, the specialist unit, the cardiology unit, and they will quickly discuss whether you go straight to their primary care or to casualty. A lot of time we just bypass casualty and go straight up to the cardiology.
Casualty? Some of them with a heart attack would go to casualty?
No. most people will go straight to, if it's been identified that is what it is, we call it a STEMI, you know, ST elevation on certain ECG changes. We will bypass casualty and go straight to cardiology, where they will get specialist treatment.
And you mentioned aspirin there. Something as simple as that you can get over the counter can help?
Aspirin, well, we give a bigger... Most people who are on aspirin, you know, it's an antiplatelet. It promotes, you know... It stops the formation of clots in the way, and the common thing is it's a blood thinner. We will give a bigger dosage, you know, to stop the platelets forming.
And what about then the telltale signs, David, that some people will have had, where they've thought, you know, over the last couple of days, I was feeling... Are there telltale signs in the run-up to it, rather than the imminent run-up, you know, days before or not?
No, it can... A lot of time it can happen just so quick, just out of the blue. Like, the last person, last caller you had on, he had, like, the last heart attack, he says he had no indication of it. That's what we call a silent myocardial infarction, you know. Mm-hmm. That can be due to particularly diabetic people who have, like, I think one of these... medical terms, sensory neuropathy, where the nerve endings, they can't feel it as well. You know, it can sneak up, but we need to see the ECG. But the most definitive thing for what people, we get chest pain and can't determine that's a heart attack or not, we will bring them to casualty where they will have their bloods checked, and those bloods will take about 4 hours to come back to give a more definitive answer. You know?
My goodness. And just finally, how does it make you feel when you see the bigger picture quite often? What's your top thought?
I'll tell you what, our paramedics are very highly trained at spotting these things. You know, it'll be reassuring to patients out there that we will spot them virtually, not all the time, but most of the time.
But David, do you think if people saw what you've seen, do you think they would look after themselves more or not?
Well, if they did come out in the vehicle and actually see what goes on, you know, sometimes, yeah, you know, they'll see the panic, the family sitting around and stuff. I had one particular person, 45-year-old, having a heart attack, and decided then, you know, to have a cardiac arrest while I was talking to him. I was saying, like, we're going to get you down into the specialist unit in the Royal. The big vehicle will come. We'll get you down, and you'll be on the ward within 40 minutes eating tea and toast. So he had a cardiac arrest where he totally collapsed, lost the heart, stopped. One shock later, he was back around. And about a minute later, he was speaking to me nicely. His heart has stopped. I've got it going again. And 2 minutes later, he's starting to talk again. His very words were, by the way, I don't like butter on my toast. So he's gone the other side, dead, come back, and then continue the conversation. You know, and he was that was a very successful call.
David, thanks for your call today.
No worries.
Thank you. Really, really interesting stuff.